We are continuing our series on fruitfulness on the front line, and we've already had the introduction to that a couple of weeks ago, and I wonder if you've been contemplating on what your front line is, where in fact you meet other people, any kind of relationship. It can be at coffee mornings, it can be at work, it can be wherever, but we all have a series of different front lines. So as we contemplate today, we're looking at modelling godly character, which is probably quite a challenge for us all. So as we think about this, let's just ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a great and mighty God. And Lord, as we come to this topic and we look at these passages in Scripture, we pray that you will open our hearts, Lord, to receive all that you want to give to us. And Lord, by your mercy and your grace, help us to respond to you so that together we can be the people you want us to be, showing the world your light so that others may come into your kingdom and glorify you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder how you would describe God. Any offers? How would you describe him? What are his attributes? I've got a list here, but I was hoping I might get a few comments, you know. We are awake this morning. Okay, well, we've got good, we've got holy, we've got a just God, we've got an awesome God, we've got a creative God, we've got a miraculous God, we've got a loving God, and we could go on probably for quite some time. So we can say God is good, and all the time God is good. Or we can say God is holy, and all the time God is holy. Oh, God is fair, and all the time, God is fair. You see, because this is who God is, and he doesn't change. He doesn't have to wake up in the morning, as it were, and think, oh, now I need to do godly behavior today. Not at all, because it is who God is. To be holy, to be good, to be faithful, to be just, and so on. But when it comes to us, the Word of God encourages us, persuades us, and supports us to exhibit godly behavior. Because whereas God doesn't have to think about who he is and his character, we need to think about our behavior and our character. Because though we are made in God's image, we are fallen, sinful human beings. And so we need to be exhorted, we need to be encouraged, and we need to have God's help to behave as godly people. I was visiting someone this week in Belong. I don't know if you've been in Belong in Macclesfield, one of the residential homes. And on the stairs was this sign. I've seen it before, but it came across fresh. And you will have seen it or a version of it somewhere. It said this: dance as though no one is watching. Love as though you've never been hurt. Sing as though no one can hear you. And then the crunch line: live as if heaven is on earth. Live as if heaven is on earth. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? So if we're going to live as heaven is on earth, then we have to live as godly people. Because we know that when we get to heaven, we will be made perfect. So we have to start doing that now. And we pray, don't we? Sometimes, because it's so familiar, maybe we don't think about what we're praying, but we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we are to live as if heaven is on earth. That is what we are called to do. And so we're going to look at these two passages, one in Colossians and one in Galatians, and if you have them open, that would be helpful. Galatians is page 202, and Colossians, yes, I'm on the Church Bible at the moment, which is good, and the Colossians one is 215. And these are very similar passages in some ways. In one, it talks about godly character, and in Galatians, it talks about fruit. But it's the same thing, and there are other passages too. Neither of them is an exhaustive list of the behaviour that we need to have, but they tell us quite a lot. In Colossians, we're told that we should have compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, love, peace, worship. As I was preparing this, John, I can't remember what he wanted. And I'm telling him something, and he hasn't got it down quick enough. He's writing something down, and I'm thinking, oh, I need this patience here. But it's true, isn't it? And in Galatians, again, we've got love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And all of these we would recognize as godly attributes. And in contrast, in both passages, Galatians as well as Colossians talks about ungodly behavior, just to remind us, I'm sure we already know, about the works of the flesh, as it says. I think it's, was it in this Bible or was it in my Bible at home? Yeah, in my Bible at home, it's the same version that I was using as I was looking at this, but it's actually got a title, The Works of the Flesh. But actually, maybe that's not altogether helpful, because I think when we think about works of the flesh, we think about our physical reactions. We think about murder and sexual immorality and so on. But actually, ungodly behavior is not just things that are physical, because it begins in our mind and our heart. When we think about anger and strife and unforgiveness and so on. And so Colossians tells us there are evil desires. There's malice and slander. And Galatians tells us that there are works of the flesh, and it lists those there. And so without Christ, we're going to tend towards ungodly behavior. And so if we want to have godly behavior, we need to go to the source of that behavior, which of course is God himself. In these workings, Paul uses different ways of speaking. But both of them talk about getting rid of things and putting them off, those ungodly ways, but also putting on godly ways. But you know, when we think about our behavior, that's the part that where we interact with other people. It's what people see. But you know, I think we're sometimes like an iceberg. 10% above the surface and 90% underneath. So people see the 10%, but actually what really matters is the 90% underneath the surface. Because although it's what people see, that 10%, where our front line, our behaviour interacts with other people and they see who we are, where does it really all happen? It happens in our hearts and minds. My son used to, and I meant to ring him yesterday, I forgot, he used to have a big poster on his wall of Muhammad Ali when he was a teenager. And it said something like, and I can't quite get it right, but basically what it said was, the fight was won or lost long before I entered the ring. And that's true with our behavior, isn't it? It's what happens in that 90% that people don't see, in our hearts and minds, that then we see in our behavior. So in Colossians, Paul talks about clothes. Now, when we put our clothes on or take them off, we do it intentionally. We have a choice. We make decisions. So Paul says, strip off your old ways. In other words, we've got some responsibility here about making the right choices. So we have to be honest with ourselves and ask God to tell us what it is we need to get rid of. And you know, sometimes we're not very honest with ourselves, are we? But we can't kid God. He knows already. So we need to be honest with ourselves and say, what are my ungodly things that I need to get rid of? And if you think you haven't got any, then ask God to show you, because we've all got some. So we have some responsibility to facing up to that and asking for God's help that we will get rid of those things, that we will become more patient or whatever it is, that we will get rid of our anger, we'll get rid of our bitterness and unforgiveness. Because what is for you is not the same as the person sitting next to you. We are all individuals and we all have things that need to be done. But positively, Paul says, but then clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness. Clothe yourselves with the good things, the godly things that God has given us. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another, forgiving one another. And so we can choose to put on the clothes like that. Someone once said, there's no such thing as bad weather, just wrong clothes. But you know, sometimes when we go out into our day, and it's good to start the day with God for this reason, when we go out, we need to know what our front line's going to be. And if we're going to meet that difficult neighbour, and we need a lot of extra love and patience or whatever, then let's put that on. Let's ask God for that, because we know the situation we're going to go into. We need to think about what kind of weather it is on our front line that we're going to meet, and put on those clothes that God has given to us. We're going to now just see a short video clip, and then I'll carry on. I think we see here in this video clip that he knows what his front line is very clearly, that that is where God has placed him. And what is interesting, that he wants to change people's perception of what mechanics are like. And we often all think that they'll just find something. I took mine in for an MOT this week, and you think they're just going to find something, aren't they? And he wants to change that. So his godliness comes out in the fact that he is trustworthy. He's not a swindler. He treats people with great respect. He puts on, as it were, the right clothes. And so there are choices to be made, choosing to put off things, our ungodly ways, and to put on, to choose to forgive. But then if you look in verse 15 and Colossians, page 215, chapter 3, verse 15. It changes then, and it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So here, rather than making choices and being having good intentions, there is a change. It's about allowing God to do his part, allowing his peace, allowing God's word to dwell in us richly. This is God's part, but we need for our part to allow him to work in our lives. And this links very closely with the Galatians chapter 5, when it tells us, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit. One of my favourite verses, and in fact it was a verse that we chose when we first went out on the mission field, is from Zechariah chapter 4, and it says this, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. by His Holy Spirit. Ultimately, it's only through God's Holy Spirit that we can be godly, which is tremendous news because it's available to each one of us. So none of us need to say we can't be godly. We can, because the same Holy Spirit is for you and for me and for the person next to you, for all of us who believe in Him. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, when He talked about what fathers give good gifts to their children, He then says, "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Do you ask Him? Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit is for you. Ask for it, and I will give it to you." This is tremendous encouragement. The Holy Spirit is the source of our godly behavior. But we need to be Christ-centered, God-centered in everything we do, especially at the beginning of the day. It's a bit late at the end of the day, isn't it? I know it's difficult if you're going out early in the morning, and I had that difficulty when I was working full-time in a school. But we need to commit the day to God and ask for His power to live in us and through us. Let the word of Christ dwell richly, and then it's the word of God that defines who we are. You know, so easily we are defined by the world in which we live, whether it's television or people saying things to us. And we have a very negative, oh, we're not as beautiful as that person, we're not this, we're not that. You know, who am I? But the word of God says we are special, each one of us. We're made in His image. We are a child of God. The word of God should define us. But we need to read it. We need to believe it. Not just read it, but believe it. Take hold of the promises of God. Ask and believe. If you don't read the word, you don't know what the promises are. In Isaiah 46:4, it says, "Even to your old age and gray hair, I am your God and I will care for you." Great promise. Stand upon it, declare it, shout it out in your house. Another one which I like, as a mother comforts her children, so I will comfort you. These are promises that God has made, and as we read God's word, we take hold of those promises and we say, "Yes, Lord, I'm taking hold of this promise today. I stand on the promises of God." Another way, of course, is just to meditate on it. Keep thinking about it. What does this mean? What's the meaning for me? It says in Psalm 1, doesn't it? When I meditate on the word of the Lord, I am like a tree bearing fruit by a river. Christ, His word, His work is given to us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. I will send. When I go to the Father, okay, I won't be with you anymore, but the Holy Spirit will be with you. We should be encouraged, brothers and sisters, because we have the power of God to live in us, to show that we are godly people. And finally, I brought my plant with me. If you're near the front, you'll see. It's got lots of fruit on it, tomatoes. And this plant, I didn't have to say to it, "Grow tomatoes." Because it's created to be a tomato plant. But I did need to feed it and to water it and actually to protect it from the slugs. We are made in God's image to bear fruit. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, "I chose you and I appointed you to go and to bear fruit." That fruit that we talk about in Galatians, love, peace, patience, and so on, to be godly people. We are made to bear that fruit. But we need to be fed and watered. We need to read the Word of God. We need to be watered by the Holy Spirit. But we need too to protect. If I don't protect this plant, the slugs will eat it and there will be no fruit. We protect ourselves by putting off the ungodly ways and by putting on the armour of God. To ask God to get rid of those ungodly ways. But we need to be honest to do that. But when we do, praise God, we won't need to think, I need godly behaviour today. When the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, it will just happen. Just like when I feed and water my tomato plant, it produces fruit. So when we're full of God, letting the Word of God dwell in us richly, when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we then will be godly people showing godly behaviour. And I thank God that in this church we see lots of godly behaviour. But we need to encourage one another. When we see godly behaviour, you know, thank you. It was lovely to see you being very patient with so-and-so. Whatever it is that we see, encourage one another in their walk, in their spiritual journey. We need to do that because all of us benefit when each one of us is exhibiting that godly behaviour in our front line. And when we do, other people will say to us, what is it that makes the difference? And through God's Spirit, more people will be drawn to Him and come into His kingdom. So live as if heaven is on earth. Amen.